This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And to talk about the Nationals, we've got Mark Zuckerman of MassinSports.com. Mark, I want to revisit the Soto deal right now. How should people be feeling about it looking back with him having underachieved in San Diego and the way things have trended with the haul Washington got back?
Well, I think, Brant, this is the reason why you don't evaluate trades right when they happen. And honestly, you probably shouldn't evaluate them a year later either. You should probably wait a lot longer down the road to see how it all plays out. At the moment, it looks better in Washington's favor because Soto has struggled in San Diego. And because at this point, the guys they got in return, for the most part, look pretty good, whether they're already in the big leagues or in the minors. But it's a long way to go still. I don't doubt that Juan Soto is still going to end up being a great player, and he will figure it out. He's too good. He cares too much. He works too hard to figure it all out. But from the national standpoint, they clearly needed to reinvigorate their farm system and position themselves to have a better chance of winning a few years down the line, and it's hard to say that they haven't done that with this. Now, maybe they could have done it on their own without ever getting to that point, but once they decided they had to do it, I think the feeling was they got as much as they possibly could for Soto, and so far the return is pretty good.
Hard question here. Grant and I have disagreed about this, but I think fans correctly reacted to Bryce Harper, right? When he left, the way that he did it, you know, saying, what's this going to do for my family? And some of those kind of comments, then pretending he always wanted to play in Philadelphia after he Googled Liberty Bell. How are fans going to react to Juan Soto? He turned down the team's offer, which I guess I understand, thinking that he might be able to get more, but he still, you know, kind of spurned them a little bit and left of his own accord. Not didn't leave his own accord. He got traded, but still there was an initial push away there. How do you think fans are going to react to this? It's complicated, right?
Yeah, it is complicated, sure. I think last year, if I remember right, and you know, what was so weird is he came back only 10 days after the trade. It was pretty overwhelmingly positive. There was some negative reaction for him, but it was mostly pretty positive. I would think it's more of the same tonight, although I think as time passes, you get less and less of it. It's not going to be quite the same. You know, Max Scherzer got a nice ovation last week, but it wasn't anything that over the top, anything like that. So I think it fades over time. But, yeah, I agree. Here's the difference, I think, with all of those guys who've come back versus Bryce Harper. And I'm not saying it's his fault, but the guys who won a World Series here are always going to be put in a different light than the guy who didn't win a World Series here. Now, did they not win a World Series because of Bryce Harper? No, I'm not going to say that. But I think that's part of the equation. It's almost like, hey, you won the ultimate title for us, and then you went on to fame and fortune elsewhere. Well, we don't love that fact, but we still love you for what you did here in 2019. And I think that goes a long way towards sort of shaping the DC sports fans' perspective of these guys.
I'm ready for this game tonight. Mackenzie Gore is must-see, or I guess I should say must-listen. You can hear the game right here on 106.7 The Fan. And you've got Yu Darvish going against him, who's a star in his own right and has elite stuff. It's the Padres. It's Soto back in town. The Nats are basically a 500 team since the first week of the season. It should be a really fun midweek series at Nats Park.
Yeah, I hope so. And I want to see how Mackenzie Gore handles that lineup. You know, so far, he's been challenged a few times. Probably the biggest one was at Citi Field, and he was great that night. He struck out 10. This is a guy who does not back away from challenges. He kind of lives for the big moment. That's one of the things I like about him most, is that in addition to the stuff, he just carries himself like a number one starter who wants the ball in the big situations. So let's see how that goes tonight. He's got to keep the ball in the strike zone, of course. He's going to have some extra emotions because he's facing the team that traded him, and you've got to channel that in the right way, not let it become too much. But I think it's a good test for him. And you know, we're talking about how fans should perceive the trade. I feel like if Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams, to a lesser extent, contribute tonight and help them win a game over Soto and the Padres, I think that goes a long way towards making people feel better about the state of things.
Patrick Corbin has been good, Mark. I don't even mean good for Patrick Corbin. Like, good, good. Six of his last seven starts have been legit bona fide quality starts by definition, not just, well, that was cute. He's going pretty deep into games. He's been pretty effective. What's he been doing lately that's so different than the last few years?
he's giving them a chance every time he takes the ball. And that's the difference, is that you don't have those blow-up starts where he's out of there in the third or fourth inning and they're down by so much they have no chance. He has done a good job of getting his mechanics back on track, making it look like his fastball and the slider look the same to the hitter when they come out of his hand. That's always been when he's at his best. He's able to do that. He sort of simplified it, just going with those two, the occasional changeup, but he's not trying to reinvent himself at this point. That could be a tough thing to do when you've struggled to the extent that he has the last few years. But I also feel like, just talking to him, he seems unencumbered by any of the struggles of the past. He knows the situation. He knows the contract. He knows how everything has gone. And he sort of said, you know what? Forget about any of that. I'm just going to go out and pitch and do the best that I can. And I wonder if taking that pressure off himself and just going out and doing his thing is helping in some way. And I do think better defense kind of makes a difference too, and allows him to be more confident in giving up contact, where maybe last year, the year before, he was more worried about, ground balls weren't always going to turn into outs, and they've done a much better job of that this year.
Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com on Grant and Danny. One last one on Soto. Barry wrote in the post today, Barry Svrluga, about the possibility of bringing him back when he hits free agency in a couple of years. I mean, it sounds initially like fantasy baseball, but if they have a new owner and they're looking to make a splash at that point, I guess it's very possible. What do you make of that?
I think it's certainly worth considering the possibility. I wouldn't get too worked up about it yet because, like you said, a lot has to happen between now and then. Where is the state of ownership then? We really don't know when or if or how any of this is going to change, and what kind of position they're going to be in to spend money, whether it's this winter, the winter after, whatever. I do think, and just getting the sense from covering Soto over the years, that he did really like it here. This was home. It was very comfortable for him. And the sense I've gotten is that he's not enjoying himself as much out on the West Coast. Now, if he gets the contract that he wants and the team wins, I think he'll find a way to like it a lot better. But, if it's just a simple question of where does he want to be once the time comes for free agency, I feel like there's a better chance of him being on the East Coast than the West Coast. And does he want the pressure of New York, or would he want to come back someplace where obviously he's going to be adored forever because of what he did previously? So there are reasons to think it could happen, but a lot of things have to happen between now and then. First and foremost, who owns the team and how much money are they willing to spend?
Mark, great as always, man. Enjoy the game.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.